Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Now the Lord is in this place tonight. I do appreciate so much tremendous transition that I've had the privilege to witness in the last four nights. Brother McDonald had told me when we first started what a tremendous difference you will see when we start Monday and when we finish Friday. He was surely on the money because there's been such a tremendous change. Now, I'm not saying you're all a bunch of mean boogers. About half of you were mean boogers. The other half were fully mean boogers. Amen. Now, I do appreciate the privilege to preach to you. It's been such a joy to me not to have to preach alone. Man, there must be 200 people preaching with me every time I preach. My God, you get 200 folks with the Holy Ghost preaching at the same time, son, you got some power. Amen. And if nothing else were to happen, I would be so gratified in my spirit to know that the young people of the California district with whom I've had to deal with enjoy preaching more than they enjoy shouting and singing. That's a mark of spiritual maturity. Yes, it is. So anybody can shout when it's moving and grooving. That's right. Anybody can jump up and down when the drums are knocking it out 148 miles an hour and the organ sounds like Jerry Lee Lewis has come back from the dead or something. Well, just move with the beat. Even jungle animals move with the beat. But I've seen the last three or four nights, son, we move with the beat, move without the beat. Amen. I appreciate it, and I'll do my very best to preach real good tonight. I always expect to preach real good. It don't always happen, but I sure expect to. Would you be so kind as to stand with me for a moment, turning your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. My God, be parting in the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We have had inner fellowship. The world calls it a generation gap. I call it just a little problem with identity. I think we've come to the place now in the Lord, after five nights of camp meeting, that we can step out on our own 2 feet and now begin to find out who we is and who we ain't. Right? Read Exodus 2. Beginning now with verse 1. There went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. That way they couldn't miss. That's right. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When she could not longer hide him, son, I want you to know I fear God. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and pitch, put the child therein. She laid it in the flags by the river's brink. His sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. She had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children."
Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me. Now give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 23, is the continuation of the story. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. I just read that to you. Because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather, not being forced, but choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to endure the pleasures of Egypt for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I truly feel God in everything I've just read. And I want to try to preach with the help of God. Something has become a part of my own soul. The Bible said, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What he actually said was, lady, I am not an Egyptian. I am not an Egyptian. With the help of God, I'm going to preach that for you. That Jesus, I need strength to preach, and I need anointing to preach. I need a supernatural touch of the Spirit of God. I'm asking you to bless this congregation. Woo! I'm asking you to bless me to preach. In the lovely name of Jesus, move in my spirit, not the confidence of my own subconscious. I'll praise you for asking in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Elder. Exodus chapter 2.
You'll have to pardon me, but I'm turned on, son. I feel so good in my soul. We have made such progress in the Holy Ghost by the grace and mercy of God. I feel persuaded of the Spirit of the Lord that God wants us to identify tonight just who we really are and what we are really not. It is not enough for you as a child of God to be separated from the world. You just cannot be separated. You must be joined to Christ. Now I want to try to preach. Come on, Elder Reed.
I want to show you,
with the help of God, the tremendous wisdom of the Lord. I don't think you and I make enough out of how smart God is. We sometimes, in our fallible humanity, we don't understand that the eye of the Lord watches everything. Nobody slips nothing over on Him. He's got this whole ball game in the palm of His hand. I want you to read for me, Elder, Exodus 2. Just begin reading.
And there went the man in the house of Levi.
Right. Read on.
And took to wife the daughter of Levi.
Right.
And the woman conceived.
Right.
And bare a son.
Bare a son.
And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child.
Goodly child.
She hid him 3 months.
He wasn't a little mean old booger. He's a goodly child. He's a nice little bambino. He's a nice little baby. He wasn't some idiot. He was a nice kid. Read on.
And when she could not no longer hide him.
Why could she hide him? Because Pharaoh had decided to kill everybody under 2 years old. He was trying to bump everybody off in the whole joint. Because he's afraid it would endanger his rulership and his kingdom. So he had to just start wiping everybody out. Be careful, Pentecost. Let the spirit of Pharaoh grab a hold of your heart and you try to kill everything that endangers you. Read.
And she took for him an ark of bulrushes.
Yeah.
Just with slime and with pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Put the child therein.
Mm-hmm. How many moments we got here tonight? Raise your hand. How would you like to give your kid away? Oh, thou of great faith. Isn't that what she did? She gave her son away to the destiny of God. And there's some things that will never come about in your life or my life if we don't walk out by faith and trust God's hand for our lives. Read on. Now don't dare go to sleep on me. Stick with me. Read on.
And it says
stood afar off. Woo! Son, if I was a United Pentecostal preacher and had me a license, sometime I'd preach me a sermon on the ministry of the insignificant. Some of you, you're so frustrated, you're wearing warts on your brain, trying to find out where you belong in God. You may very well have a ministry of insignificance to others, but of great importance to God. Because God keeps people in the wings of His destiny plans, and when His fullness of time comes, they come out of the wings and they perform a great service for God. Miriam couldn't sing, she couldn't play, she couldn't preach, but honey, she could hide the bushes. And she seen her little brother go floating down the river, and I see that little old chick, she just hid in the bushes. Sometimes Noah's trouble is good. And she's just watching. Wonder what's going to happen to my brother. There he goes, floating down the old Nile. I wonder what's going to happen. And she just kind of followed along. She's watching. Read on. Oh, this is going to get good. Read on.
And the sister stood afar off to greet her to know what would be done to him.
Yeah.
And the daughter of Pharaoh came down.
Ain't that something? Some dummy. Got himself a college degree with D.D. and A.B. and N.B.C. and all the rest of them letters behind his name. And he thinks God's stupid. Ain't it somehow God decided to tell that scummy Egyptian, hey, your body stinks. That old bag could have taken a shower any day of the week. But God said, no, you're not taking no bath until I prompt you. And all of a sudden, here comes the baby down. And God says, all right, lady, go down to the water now. Sometimes Christians are dumb enough to say, ain't I lucky? Ain't got no luck to do with it, honey. God made point A and point B come together, and there you be. Friend, I'm so glad I'm important to God. Son, ain't nothing happens to me that my daddy don't know everything about it. Nothing comes my way that my father hasn't seen that I would fit somewhere in the perfect plan of God. You are not a mistake. You are not a mishap. You are not unwanted. You're so important to God. You're so valuable to the kingdom of the Lord. Nothing happens to you just by accident. I see that old Pharaoh's daughter. She come down to bathe her dainty little body. She tiptoe on down to the Nile. And God's breath is blowing that little bulrush's ark.
And here she comes.
Just like another day. Read, Elder.
The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river.
Yeah. Yeah, what's this?
When she saw the ark among the flags,
she thought. God made her see it. He could have went down the river and he could have passed away. But God directed her vision. Now watch, read.
She sent her maid to
Bethlehem. Boy, I think God's so smart. Watch what happens.
And when she had opened it, she saw the child.
Come on.
And behold, the babe wept.
Now that's what I like. That little old baby going on down the river in his own little boat. And that dude ain't never said a word. I mean, he ain't even snarled in his nose. He ain't done nothing. He just floats along like Whistling Dixie or something. He ain't done nothing. And the minute that scummy old dirty Egyptian kisser looked him in the face, so he broke out into a tantrum. I want you to know, God has a way of making babies cry when he wants them to cry, and making babies be still when he wants them to be still. And God had a reason for that. Because the Bible says, when she saw the baby cry, she was moved with compassion. If the baby hadn't wept, she might have just drowned the baby. But God just kind of bumped it. Boop. Said, cry, boy. You say, what are you trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you, don't keep waiting for big lightning bolts from heaven. If you can feel an impulse of the Spirit, respond to the Spirit. Who knows? You might be the very avenue to save somebody's soul. Read on.
She had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children.
That's right. Come on.
Said his sister.
The one that couldn't do nothing. She come a flying out of the bushes. Oh, I just happened to be walking by. Said, listen, lady. Said, this is one of them two kids. You Egyptians don't know nothing about Jews. You live in a palace, we live in the mud. Said, I just happen to know a Hebrew lady that had a baby recently, and if you want, I'll go get a nurse. And an old dumb Pharaoh's daughter, she just don't think nothing, boy. She just says, yeah, that's good. Yeah, go ahead. Just go ahead. All the while, Miriam's figured up in the back of her mind, I'm going to take my brother to my mama. And you watch the wisdom of God. Read on.
Shall I go and call for the nurse of the Hebrew women?
Come on. Come on, get this thing flying. Come on.
And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go.
Yeah, go.
Then
called some just regular old kosher lady. I mean, she called her mama. Now you talk about the wisdom of God. God could have let that dumb little kid get raised by some idiot that didn't believe fat meat was greasy. But instead, in the destiny and the wisdom of God, God arranges everything legally to have Moses' mama raise him. Now watch, read.
Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me.
Nurse it for me.
And I will give thee thy wages.
And I'll pay you.
And the woman took the child and nursed it.
Now watch this.
Come on. The child grew and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter.
She had a day that she dreaded in her life. When she knew that Pharaoh's chariot would pull up to her mud hut and her son would be her son no longer. For she was just to nurse the baby. And when the baby was finished nursing, Pharaoh's daughter would take that baby away. Now, I want to tell you something. Right now, I'm fixing to preach. God, let that mama put that baby on her knee, and she began to swaddle him and love him and swoon him and kiss him and instruct him. And with calluses on her hands, and the whiplash across her back, and the agony of her own mind and her spirit, knowing that her boy was soon to leave. She would sit that little bambino on her lap, and she would say, "Honey, there'll be a lady coming for you shortly, and she's going to take you away out of this mud, and you're going to live in palaces, and you're going to go to the finest schools, and you're going to dress in silver and gold and costly raiment. But I want you to look in your mama's eyes, and I want you to hear what I say. Son, wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever situation you're put into, you remember one thing. You were born right. You are not an Egyptian. No matter what they do, no matter what they say, you were born right." She'd look at that boy and say, "Now tell me in my face. Tell me what I told you, honey." And that little boy would say, "Mama, I am not an Egyptian." She'd say, "No, no, you're not saying it strong. I am not an Egyptian." That's it. You remember that? When they bathed you and put perfume on you, and they began to call you son, and they began to call you the next in line for the throne. You remember that back in a mud hut somewhere, I taught you about the great God of eternity. I told you about the Lord of glory. I taught you the truth. And no matter what you're put into, remember you were born right. What are you saying, Verano? Pentecostals, no matter what you're put into, no matter where you go, remember you were born right. You've got the power of the Holy Ghost in you. This old damnable world is trying to make a bunch of scummy Egyptians out of you. I want you to throw your chest out and your shoulders back and your head high and say, "No, no, 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 no. Somewhere in a humble altar, I was born of the water and of the spirit. I'm not an Egyptian. Oh, my mama taught me. My daddy taught me. My pastor taught me. And I don't care what I'm put into. I'll always remember I'm not an Egyptian." Woo, Jesus. Read a little more for me. I'll get with it in a minute. Read. He wasn't her son. He became her son. Have you ever wondered the sadness in Moses' mama's real heart? She never got to name her baby. You see, Moses is an Egyptian name. It means drawn out of the water. And the scripture says that Pharaoh's daughter called him Moses. Could you see that day when she came in and said, "Slave Jew woman? Yes. Where's my son?" "You don't have any son." "I've got a son. You've nursed him. It's not your son. I'm going to make him my son. And I'm going to do everything in my power with the limitless wealth and knowledge at my fingertips to erase you and all his thoughts about you and the stench of your cow dung that he's lived with while you've nursed him, and the stench of all the memories of the mud and the lash. I will subject him to the most beautiful things. He will never, ever remember you." Friend, I see a tear trickle down Moses' mama's face as she snatches real fast towards him and says, "Honey, look at your mama. Look at your mama. Tell me what I told you. Mama, I am not an Egyptian. Tell this woman that. Lady, I don't know who you be, and I don't know what you be, but my mama said, I ain't like you. Because I was born right. I was born right. When you're born right, you've got a right to declare your pedigree before the world. I'm even a scared elder, Pat. when Pentecostals put their arms around Baptists and Presbyterians and Episcopalians and say, well, God bless you, brother. Brother, my eye, it cost me everything I got to be born into the family of God. That's not my brother. That's an objection. That's an objection. Now, that's a little too strong. I'm sorry. Son, don't you ever, lady, don't you ever prostitute the high calling of God for some low degree friendship just for advantage. I've had folks look me in the face and tell me I'd win a lot more folks if I wasn't so nasty, if I wasn't so straightforward, if I wasn't so strong, if I wasn't so hung up on doctrine and discipline and all that jazz you holy rollers live with. Say, wait a minute, honey. The reason why we're hung up is, baby, your daddy be the booger and my daddy be Jesus Christ. That be the difference. Jesus said that. Said ye are of your father, the devil, and his works will you do. But if your father's Jesus, you're not an Egyptian. You're different. You're born right. You've got the power of the Holy Ghost. This old sly world is trying to get you to just kind of slant it this way and shave it that way. I hope God, in His mercy, doesn't kill some of our brethren in our fellowship who are shaving it here and shaving it there to win the charismatic and to win the Baptist. Son, we was called to win sinners. That's what we're called. And the only way you win sinners is preach the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. I see Pharaoh's daughter snatch Moses up in her arms, puts him in a chariot, and takes him to the palace. They walk down the corridors of glory. And honey, you ever started off on the left foot? The wrong foot? That's what that Egyptian babe did. She started off on the wrong foot with that kosher kid, I'll tell you right now. Because the first thing she said when she got into that beautiful hotel they lived in, she said, now son, and Moses kind of went, what'd you say? Said, it's bad enough, lady. I got to put up with that dumb name you gave me. Moses. Waterhead. Moses. And I'll put up with that dumb name. But let me and you, baby, get one face faith. I ain't your kid. I ain't never going to be your kid. And if they put ice cream parlors in hell, I'll still never be your kid. I was born right. I was born different. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm different. I see her just say, oh, you'll get over that. I see old Moses take a big old wad of juicy fruit, stick it in his mouth, say, you lame brain Egyptian, I'll never get over that. Said, my mama told me all about God, and one day a Redeemer would come and save us. And she told me, you Egyptians are a bunch of dodos. You got so many gods, you run out of calendars. You don't know which one to worship when. But my mama said that even though you worship the God of the Nile, my mama worshiped the God that made the Nile. There's a difference. Now listen to me. The Bible says that if Pharaoh's daughter, and you're going to have to read in between the lines with me because I'm a dreamer. And I see that old bag dragging him by the hand. Come on, son. I'm sorry. Come on, Moses. Where are we going? Well, we're going to get you a nice bath. Put you on some stinkum so you pity. Get your hair all fluffed up. Said, I like my hair the way it is. Well, in Egypt, you got to wear your hair longer. Oh, Moses just kind of stops and says, no. My mama said, I got to have hair that's nice. Says, well, you'll be all right. You stay around us Egyptians long enough and you'll look just like us. Oh, no, some of us won't. Some of us won't look just like you. No, we're not Egyptians. No, sir. Because the words of mama and daddy still ring in our souls. You were born right. You're not an Egyptian. You know better than that. Moses just kind of walks around looking at everything. Just kicking his heels and she puts nice clothes on him and he walks down the hallways and, honey, he's got everything at his fingertips. Now, Brother McNeely, honey, these kids ain't got no kind of oppression compared to what Moses had. He was subjected to the greatest teaching of the known world. The Egyptians had the greatest minds in the then known world. They had more gods than Carter had pills for peanuts. They had astrologers that studied the stars and the moon. They had astronomers. They had, oh my God, they even had folks that read the horoscope. Yeah, thank you, seven people. I think it's an absolute shame when a United Pentecostal young person or old person would check with Dean Gene Dixon to find out what's going on. Hey, here's what's going on. This is what's going on. This is what's going on. I don't need somebody, some old dumb dear Abby, to tell me how to have my love life when old Abby got divorced. I'm telling you, darling, we're in a treacherous generation. They try to make you into a bunch of Egyptians. And you've got to make up your mind. You're not an Egyptian. You'll never be an Egyptian. You've got to be brought back. Brother, I see him. He get old Moses dolled up, son. And he's fit to kill. And then they turn those old sweet chicks on him. Boy, I tell you. Then many a good man bit the dust over some sweet lips from some babe. That's the gospel truth. Boy, I'll tell you, if you ain't ever stared square into an Egyptian's face, if you ain't full of the Holy Ghost, son, they give you butterflies in your stomach. I mean, they got them eyelashes, honey. They just stand there. They put on them long, tight skirts that they can't even sit down in. They just kind of, like the old Chiquita banana thing when I was a kid, too. And boy, they just come and strut their stuff, son. I don't mind being crude. Son, hell's a lot cruder than I am. Brother, sin's a lot rougher than I am. My God, I'm so glad the way you young girls dress and the way you young guys. I'm so proud my soul just beats with thanksgiving for godly girls and godly boys that won't expose themselves. Boy, that old sweet little chick living in the palace, she just kind of put on her charms. She had her little ear bobs on. She had her little ankle bracelet on. She had a little necklace on. Hi, Moses. And when she tried for a week and it didn't work, she did like some of us and slipped off into the restroom and did a little more.
Listen, I've seen some of the young people in Pentecost. This might have been sucking on a big red plum. You don't need that junk. You don't need that junk. You don't need that. Son, I've seen them. Faces look like they fell into a pound box of powdered pancake mix. No! Brother, you ever find someone that loves God? Honey, you ain't going to turn them on with that foolishness. It's the quiet spirit. It's the meek spirit. It's the godly spirit that helps a man love you. Boy, I see that old chick. She just come sliding over to Moses.
Hi, Moses. Hey, Moses.
Boy, Moses hates it. All he's got ringing over his brain is, I'm not an Egyptian. I don't belong here. I'm subject here right now. I'm not an Egyptian. And I'm uncomfortable here. And God forgive any one of us if we ever get put into a worldly situation and we become comfortable. Somebody walks up and tells you a nice little dirty curse joke and you go, oh, isn't that funny? No, honey, that ain't funny. That's sad that you would even think that was funny. She just wiggles up to him.
Hey, Moses, we're going to have a party.
So what?
Well, we just thought maybe you'd like to come to the party at 7:30.
Who's going to be at the party? Some of them jungle heads?
Well, just some of the kids. We thought you'd like to come. Won't you please?
Well, I ain't got nothing else to do. Says your mother. She put a TV in my room, I threw it in the river. So that party started, and the guitar started, and the strobe light started, and the disco started. And that's it, old Moses, Mr. Wallflower.
The boogie, baby. Come on, let's do something.
Oh, Moses says, stop. I'm not interested.
Said, Moses, what's the matter with you? How come you don't like to dance?
Said, because I'm not an Egyptian. I'm not a Egyptian. I'm not.
Said, I don't think like you. I don't desire like you. I'm born different. I've got something that makes me different.
But she just walks up. Well, forget you.
Ha, there's plenty of boys want me. Well, let him puke all over your acid face. Go on.
Here comes some of the young fellas. Hey, Moses. You seem like a swinger, baby. Want to have a little fun? What kind of fun? So what kind of fun?
Moses, you stuck on this for 3 minutes, and you will leave for Jupiter.
Said, man, you have such feelings. Maybe you'll see things like you ain't never seen.
Come on, Moses. Hey, ain't gonna hurt you much.
Said, you know what's the matter with you, punk? You're a freako.
Said, you're a freako.
That's what's wrong with you. I said, all you do is live in your emotions and you live just to gratify and satisfy the momentary. But back in a little old mud hut where my mama's back was bloodied with your daddy's whip, she told me that if I would hold true to my convictions, I would go higher and deeper in God than you could ever get me smoking your pot and smoking your drugs and doing your thing. Woo, God, I'm stirred. That I want you to know, that boy was subject to it. Friend, he was the biggest wallflower, the biggest misfit you ever see. Hey, Moses, ain't you going to go with us? Where are we going, baby? Said, we're going to go play such and such. You know, you gotta kind of dress out a little bit. You know, ain't nobody going to pay attention to your knobby knees anyway. So why don't you just come on? Come on, baby. Hey, Moses, you're looking so square, baby. I mean, it looks like you when you know. I mean, you're ever more cool, baby. Just stretch your stuff, son. And you know, just even if you don't believe it, just fake it. Moses puts his collar down and says, listen, punk. Said, let me get the message to you for the last time. I am not an Egyptian. I don't love what you love. I don't do what you do. I don't want to do what you do. I love God. I'm born different. I'm born right. I've got something greater on the other side. I see that old Pharaoh's daughter trying to get him to go to all the socials and he won't. Trying to dance all the modern dances and he won't. So finally she tries a little power diversion. She takes him one day down the long corridor to the big golden doors, 15 foot high. Old Moses just walking along, popping his bubble gum. Every chance he gets, he sticks a wad under somebody's chair. Come on. She says, Moses, come here, honey. Come here. Come on. Come on. Moses just walking around. Says, where are we going, lady? Says, we're going to go into the throne room. I said, the throne room. Come on. Come on, son. Now listen, you old bag. I've told you and told you and told you. I need your kids. Now, you can dress me like you want to, and you can make me go to some things you want to, and you can force me to indulge in other things because I'm subject to you. But I got news for you, baby. Inside me is a birthright that you'll never change. You'll never be able to do it to me. I'm not an Egyptian. Son, I got to go quick here. And they walk into that throne room, and there sits the giant throne. And there, right next to the throne, is a great big glass case with all kinds of emerald and jeweled rings. And he says, what's all that stuff? I said, they had to put on your fingers. Whose fingers? She lifts the case up and one big old rock to knock your eye out. Says, just slip it on, Moses. I want to. Oh, just hide. Ain't going to hurt you. It looks nice. Thank you. said, your Egyptian rings don't fit my Hebrew fingers. Woo! And your Egyptian world doesn't fit any way I live. I'm uncomfortable in the world. He says, but you see this ring here? If you put that on your hand, you can make law. It's the Pharaoh's signet. You can kill people with it. You can make them alive. You can set them free. You can put them in prison. He said, lady, listen, you've been on that kickaboo juice too long. She said, that stuff's only for the Pharaoh. She says, well, that's what I brought you in here for. Do my throne here, buddy. Do my throne. Thank you. She says, you see that seat there? Yeah, it looks like a seat. Says, that's the Pharaoh's seat. So, when you sit on that seat, you're God. You mean, just by sitting on that seat, you get to be God? She said, that's right, because in the land, Pharaoh is God. He kills and he makes alive. He curses and he blesses. He is indeed the God of all Egyptians. He said, man, you are sick. He said, what you going to do with the God that made everything? What you going to do with the God that lives in my mama's soul? What you going to do with the God that promised deliverance for his people? What you going to do with him? He didn't die. And the Egyptians said, well, he don't exist. He exists. Just slip up on the throne, Moses. Just see how it feels. I want you. Said, I ain't interested in being no God. One God's enough. He said, Moses, here's why I brought you into the room. Please don't go to sleep, folks. I'm almost home. Listen to me. She said, I brought you into the room for one purpose. He said, I figured that. It's not because you love me. You finagling, stinking Egyptian. You couldn't tell the truth if you seen it. You always finagling. Now, what's on your mind? Well, Moses, the Pharaoh, he'd be having a heart condition. And he's slipping away quick. And when he flakes out, he said, guess who's going to get to sit on the seat? Who? You. No, not me, baby. She says, well, Moses, here's the last problem I got with you. I can put up with you not letting me call your son, not dating any of the Egyptian girls. Hear me now. And all this ridiculous stuff that you call convictions, I put up with it. But we got one slight problem. All I'm asking is for one favor. What's the favor? The favor be when the old man kicks the bucket, I want you to have 72-hour lockjaw. What do you mean lockjaw? I mean, I want you to shut your mouth and I don't want you to tell nobody about your past. What do you mean about my past? Well, you see, Moses, me and you, baby, we're the only ones that know you ain't an Egyptian. And if you'll keep your mouth shut, we'll slip you on the throne
and you'll be king over the whole land, and nobody will know it. Moses says, I know it. My mama knows it. My pastor knows it.
My God knows it. My soul knows it. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm not an Egyptian. I don't want your old soul. I don't want it. I've got something greater in the Holy Ghost. I'm born right. I'm not like you. Woo! Jesus said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life.
Now, stick with me.
Woo, God.
God, I feel good. I feel good.
Woo, Jesus.
Woo. Son, that ignorant scrub in the world telling me if he signs one of them Billy Graham cards, accept the Lord as your personal Savior, that makes him my brother. Hogwash, but hell it does. You got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You've got to be holy unto the Lord. Well, that was the end of it, honey. That was the last straw. That's the one that broke the camel's back. Moses kicked that old throne away and said, the lady, I appreciate all the licorice, the milkshakes, all the fun and games, all the dumb kids that you want me to go out with all the time, all your little acid head nephews that are always freaked out. I appreciate it all. But I've had my fill of you, and I've had my fill of your dumb Egyptian lifestyle, and I'm telling you right to your kisser, I'm not your son, and I'm leaving. I'm leaving. Son, I see that old Moses. He jumps into his little room. He picks up his YMCA bag. He throws in his Adidas sneakers and his racquetball racket. He throws in a couple of sweatshirts. He throws in a Tootsie Roll or two. He slaps it over his back. And son, he's heading for the gate. I tell you, old Pharaoh's daughter says, where you going, honey? Where you going? I said, I'm just blowing this joint. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of all your fakery. I'm sick of all your junk. You ain't got nothing real. You're just a big fake. You and your whole ball game. You think because you got gold that's important. You think because you got a lot of clothes that's important. But I want you to know that's not important. Being real is important. Being honest is important. Being born right is important. Son, I see that old boy kick open the door. Talk to that 6'8" Egyptian guard. Hey, you flunky, open the door. I'll kick you in the shin. Say, where are you going, boy? I'm going to find out if the God that my mama told me about is around. And he just walks out and just kind of... He walks out that door. And old Pharaoh's daughter looking over the top of that palace. Come back, Moses. Oh, Moses. Please come back, son. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm not. Woo! You're not an Egyptian. Not a one of you is an Egyptian. You've got the Holy Ghost. You're different. You're not like the world. You've got something in you that makes you different. You're born right. Tell the price
if you and I and the great fellowship of UPC ever lose our identity, we'll go away in the sands of time. Let me preach another minute or two. I want to tell you, darling, you're going to go home from this camp, and I'm going to show you a transformation in your life that's going to knock the wind out of some of your sails. You're going to leave this camp with a scepter in your hand. Now, when Moses left, he could have had the scepter of Egypt, but in one choosing and refusal and denial, he traded the scepter of Egypt for a shepherd's staff. And there's some people in Pentecost that cannot take that transformation. If they ain't got the blow and the go, if they ain't the Pentecostal prima donna, if they don't sing the special song, if they're not asked to lead the youth service, if they're not the special preacher, hey, while I'm preaching, preachers, I think it's time for some of us preachers that when the service is going on, that we don't fall asleep on the platform until it comes time for us. I've seen preachers in fellowship halls, they just sit there and they pick their fingernails and check their socks, and they're not even interested in the service. And then finally someone will say, we like Brother so far to step up. And he comes up there like gangbusters. Yeah. And when he finishes, he goes up. That's a bunch of baloney. I see old Moses out there with his shepherd's staff, and every demon ever belched out of hell on his case. Oh, you're a fool, Moses. Son, you had the world in your hand. You had the kingdom of the whole world here. And look what you've got now. A naughty old shepherd's staff. A bunch of bleeding sheep. You could have married the most beautiful woman in the world, and now you're married to some little old humble, plain-faced Jane, long-haired. And all she is just someone that loves you, raises your family, cooks your stuff, and cleans your clothes. And she can't dance. And she don't like to wear diamond rings either. There's something wrong with you. Oh, Moses just standing there one day, Brother Mac, and all of a sudden, like a tumbleweed from glory. What is that? What is that strange bush that looks like it's on fire? You wait here. I'm going to see. And he gets closer. And he begins to feel that same feeling he felt in the mud hut when Mama talked about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he starts to approach the bush, and a voice booms from the flame. Moses, take off thy shoes, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Who are you? What are you? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of thy father and thy mother. I am the God that has ordained you to be a redeemer unto my people. Ooh, God. Don't you ever let the devil tell you you're a loser because you live by your convictions. You'll never be a loser if you live by your convictions. You're always a winner. God says, I hear tell that the devil been bugging you because you gave up your scepter. Yes, Lord.
What you got in your hand?
Oh, it's just an old Nutty Pond shepherd's staff.
Throw it down. Pick it back up.
Stinking demon.
Says Moses, because you have not prostituted your convictions, because you have not let your beautiful birthright be buried in the oblivion of Egyptian influence, I will raise you up and send you back to Egypt, and you'll be the vessel whereby I will redeem all the children of Israel. Says, but I can't speak. I'll give you Aaron. He'll speak for you. I'll give you power. You go back and get my people. Friend, my Bible tells me, sometimes when Moses would stay a while in the presence of the Lord, he had to put a veil on his face because of the glory. You never have that happen to you. You're an Egyptian. You gotta paint your face when you're an Egyptian. But when you're born of God, it emanates from you. There's a luster of holiness and godliness, woo, that shines from you. It glows on your face. Let me bring this thing home now. Brother, you know the story. That old same dumb guard, brother, he was on the fence post that night when here come Moses with his shepherd's staff. And he says, hey, what you know? Oh, Moses, come home. I knew you couldn't take it in the wilderness, boy. He looks up and says, howdy, pal. Said, I'm back. Well, we knew you'd come back. Yeah, but you didn't know why I come back. Sure, you found out that we got the good life here. We got the swinging life here. You come back to be one of us, didn't you? And you were going to convince all those Israelites to be like us, ain't you? Well, I am going to go inside and talk to the Israelites. What you going to tell them? I'm going to tell them to pack their duffel bag because we're blowing town. And brother, my Bible tells me after 10 plagues and great power and miracles with God, the one who had tattooed on his undershirt, I am not an Egyptian, walked out of Egypt with everybody that belonged to God. And I'm telling you, you'll go home from this camp meeting and you'll go to Egypt because the world is Egypt. But if you'll live by your convictions, you'll bring some people out of Egypt for the kingdom of God. You'll win folks for God. But you'll never win them if you lay down your holiness. And let me finish here. I know it's been a long time. Look here. Look here. The Bible says that Moses made a mistake, and so will you. Don't you ever let the devil beat you down just because you make mistakes. That's all part of getting to heaven. You show me someone don't make mistakes, either that cat's the biggest liar walking in shoe leather, or he is dead. And finally, Moses made a mistake. Instead of speaking to the rock, he smote it. God said, you can't go in. 40 years with them bunch of backbiting Jews, causing kinds of trouble, trying to stone him and killing him, run him off town, run him out of town, run him off the campsite. My God. Father God says, get up here in the mountain. Said, you're fixing to flake out, Jack. Said, you can look over in the land, but you ain't going in.
Can I please go in, God? Nope. Don't talk to me no more about it. Yes, sir. Can I look over? I've been 40 years with these people. Can I look over? Yeah, go ahead and look. Oh, what a sight that must have been. To think that I almost lost all that just because I could have laid my convictions down and kept my mouth shut and never told anybody what I believed. I'll just let people see the way I act and dress, and they'll just figure it out. Oh, hogwash. There's some things you got to live and speak and act. Well, I'm finished with this thought now. You see, when Moses died, hell became hysterical. You know why? They said, that dumb Jew boy, 40 years putting up with them backbiting Jews, living by his convictions, intervening for God, and he dies outside the promised land. And the devil tells some of you, you're a fool for living for God. You're a fool. But let me finish this. Ooh, God. I see Moses. He's just laying down, stiff as a piece of concrete, rigor mortis sitting. He's just laying up on the mountain. And from the depths of hell, the angel of death starts to come. But Lucifer himself says, no, don't you go after him. I want him. I tried to kill him in the Nile, but God spared him. I tried to seduce him in Egypt's palaces, but he slipped through my hands. Three times while he led the children of Israel, I almost had him stoned. But he got by. But oh, baby, he is dead now, and his carcass is mine. And I see that scummy, slimy, reprobate devil slipping and sliding on his dirty belly like he ought to be, coming up to the body of Moses to drag that carcass back to hell, laughing at him. You fool, 40 years you live for God. And brother, this turns my motor. Son, that old slimy devil get ready to put his hands on the carcass of that man of God. And the scripture says, suddenly from heaven, like a lightning bolt of glory, the scripture says that Michael, the archangel of the Lord, descends down upon that mountain, and he picks up the body of Moses and says, sorry, funeral arrangements have been made elsewhere. For the Bible says that when the devil began to dispute with Michael the archangel over the body of Moses, the scripture says, Michael just said, the Lord rebuked thee. Son, even in his death, he was a winner. Even when he started to fly off that mountain, I can hear dripping from the lips of Michael the archangel, Satan, didn't you hear what he said all his life? He was never an Egyptian. Woo! And Jesus Christ is not coming back for the world. He's coming back for the bride. He's coming back for those that have been born right, that are living right, that are doing right. I'm a finishing for the fourth time. Listen to me. Come on. I want to finish this right now. Brother, Michael and God teamed up and buried him somewhere, I don't know where. And even then, while that old scummy creep Satan come a-slipping back into his vomit pit where he lives, he still kind of laughed and said, well, I may not have got his carcass, but the creep never did get into the promised land. He died on the other side of Canaan. Don't you worry, honey. My daddy always holds a trump card. And my Bible tells me, a few thousand years later, on the other side of Jordan, the Bible said, and Jesus taketh with him three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And they go up into... Oh, Lord. They go up into a high, exceeding mountain, and there before them, the Lord becomes transfigured. His face becomes brighter than the sun. His raiment becomes whiter than any white can make them. But baby, guess who showed up at the party? I want you to know that the scripture says, and there appeared with him, not in the flesh, Brother Price, but in glory, Moses, the man of God. And he kept saying, I never was an Egyptian. I never was an Egyptian. I never was an Egyptian. Woo! I guarantee you, if some of you will make up your mind in this camp that you got no inheritance in this world, you will wake up with him in glory. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm not an Egyptian. I never was. I never will be. I was born right.